Well, it's quite exciting to have new species in Western Australia. Western Australia is one of the most diverse places for lizards in the world, full stop. And so when you get out there in a place like the Pilbara, which is a little bit remote, away from capital cities, and you can actually pick up brand new species if your eye is in there and you know what you're sort of looking for.
So what have you found?
Well, there's two species. One is a gecko, the northern beak-face gecko, and this is a very cute little fella. He's he's about 6 or 8 centimeters long, and has a very sharp face. And we believe he's there's others like him that specialize on termites and ants. And there's an idea that they have this sort of tweezer-like beaks to pick up these small prey items. He's red with very sort of white, pale, yellowy spots. They're dotted with spots. And so we came up with the name Galaxius because it kind of looks like a Milky Way if you put your eyes out of focus a bit. And this one occurs more towards Karratha down into Millstream, whereas the other species that it was confused with is more of a Hammersley Block thing, and that goes inland and then comes up north to Marble Bar about. So the new species is sort of restricted to around that Karratha Millstream area.
Tell us about the other species that you found.
Now, the other species is a skink lizard. So these are the quite elongate, shiny, smooth type lizards that you'd get in your garden often. Not this one, though. This one is more out in the desert. It's in the Great Sandy Desert, and it really likes that sand along the sort of Roburn Plain, and it extends right into Karratha. It's called the Mosaic Desert Skink because it's quite a pretty skink with this sort of fine checkerboard pattern of yellow and brown along the back, and it's got sort of bands around the tail, and it's sort of a yellowy head, and it's quite a handsome beast.
So you weren't actually out looking for these in particular at first. It was sort of somebody had stumbled upon one and someone had stumbled upon another one, and then you went and thought, well, we do need to get out there and actually look for these?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of survey work going on in the Pilbara with a lot of the projects going on with the resource industry. So say a company wants to do a bit of exploration in an area, the government requires that the company hire an environmental consultant company to tell them what species are there, are there any endangered or threatened species that the development might impact on. So what happens in a region like the Pilbara is you send out consultants and they'll often find things that don't slot into something that we understand. That's when the museum gets involved and we take a big interest in those sort of species.
And did you get to get out into the field yourself on this one?
A participant in the DEC Pilbara Biodiversity Survey that ran 2004, 2006. I had a great time going on 4 trips, getting to experience the different parts of the Pilbara, and had a fantastic time. And really, when you're out in the wild encountering these things, I remember the beak-faced gecko. There was one day when we got the northern beak-faced gecko as well as the southern one, and you can put them side by side, and you can go, yep, aha, eureka, there's definitely something funny going on. Yeah, that's what it's all about for a biologist.
So, Dr. Doughty, do you take away live specimens when you make a discovery like this?
Yes, a few famous individuals get enshrined and get pickled at the museum, but we try to take what we need, and then we rely on photographs to describe them, and we do take genetic samples.
It's quite important to sort of take record as much evidence as you can, because, you know, the Pilbara is renowned for people stumbling across magnificent discoveries of flora and fauna and then never being able to find it again.
Yes, well, there's a lot out there. So we're trying to make sense of everything in the Pilbara. The Pilbara Biodiversity Survey by DEC, that's in the final stages of write-up. During that survey, we did encounter quite a few new species. There are a couple other ones we're working on, so there might be more. So watch this space, but these are the first two that we got out recently, so we're pretty excited about these.
And Dr. Doughty, just quickly, can you give us the long name and the short name for each of the new species?
The northern beak-faced gecko, the scientific name is Diplodactylus, that's the genus. Galaxius is the species name. And with geckos, they have, most people know geckos as sort of climbing on walls and sticking upside down, and but there's a lot of ones with claws and all sorts of variation in the toes. So Diplo, Dactylus means two-toed. So these have a sort of two big pads on the end of their fingertips. So that's where that name comes from. And as I mentioned earlier, the Galaxius refers to the pattern of fine dots on the back, which kind of look like stars. Now the other one, the desert mosaic skink, that's Eremia skinkus musivus. And so the species name musivus means mosaic or checkerboard pattern. And Eremia skinkus means, Eremia means desert, so it means desert skink, and it's a mosaic pattern.
And just quickly, Dr. Doughty, how important is the Pilbara region to this kind of discovery in science? Is there a lot more out there?
Yeah, the Pilbara is shaping up to be one of the most diverse places for reptiles, and the reptiles there are, you get a lot of rocky endemics, like the northern beak-faced gecko. It enjoys life on rocks, and its relatives elsewhere don't live on rocks. So you have this situation where you have widespread species in the arid zone. They get sort of snagged into the quite expansive rocky area of the Pilbara, and over millions of years, they'll speciate and just remain in the Pilbara. So the Pilbara especially has a lot of these rock specialists endemics. There's a few sand specialists, but they're much rarer because sand is everywhere in the arid zone. You've got it, the deep deserts of the Gibson Desert and the Great Victoria Desert and things like that. And there's a bit of sand in the Pilbara, but generally it's the rocky things. There's an endemic goanna, Varanus pilbarensis, which is a very spectacular rock species, and another big rock skink. I can just go on and on about these rock specialists, and they do tend to be Pilbara red, that dull Pilbara red, so they blend in.
Dr. Doughty, it's exciting news anyway, and thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem.